GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point, and there's the whistle. It's over! It's over!
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it! He hits it! What? It's over the bar!
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to the RTE GAA podcast. Colm Keyes of the Irish Independent and Peter Canavan join myself and Rory this weekend to look ahead to the All-Ireland football semi-finals and the Tailteann Cup final, which kicks off the weekend's football on Saturday at 3 o'clock between Down and Laois. Then you've got Kerry Armagh on Saturday at 5:30 and Donegal against Galway on Sunday at 4. So let's start with that one between Kerry and Armagh then, Peter, because it feels like, if you think back to when Armagh lost that semi-final against you guys in 2005, if you thought it would take them this long to get back to an All-Ireland semi-final, the colour, everything that we've missed from Armagh, it feels like an awful long time. And it has been, you know, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wouldn't have thought back then everyone was going well in Armagh. And number one, it shows you how competitive Ulster is again and trying to get out of that and the minefields that exist there. But if ever there's a lesson for reward for perseverance, it will be handed to Kieran McGeaney, because you recall at the end of last year there was rumblings in Armagh, and a lot of clubs in Armagh thought it was time for change. But McGeaney's most notable backing then was from his players and those that were involved. And I think you can see that from the four teams that's left, the team with the strongest panel, in my opinion, is Armagh. And the most difficult part of managing an intercounty team at the minute is holding on to your fringe players. It's okay when you're in the first 18, you're guaranteed getting games throughout the National League. But to carry a big panel for players, but in that amount of effort and commitment, and see very little action, well, the easy way out is always to go back to the club and get playing football, because that's what everybody wants to do, is get playing on the park. So those players have remained very loyal to McGeaney. So there's a lot of things being done. He's a great backroom team there, obviously, as well. So there's a lot of things going right in Armagh behind the scenes that very few people know about. And I think that's now, McGeaney's now getting his reward on the field of play, with really strong performances. And, you know, if you look back at the last few years, Jackie, I know it's a long time since they got the semi-final, but my God, they've come very close.
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, penalties more than anything else has been their heartache. So, in fairness, they have been knocking on the door and they're very entitled to be where they are at the minute.
Yeah, I tell you, if they're not practicing penalties now at the moment, then I don't know what they're doing, because at some point it's going to have to go right for them, Colm. What do you make of that point that Peter makes, though, that of the four teams that are left, that they have the strongest panel?
I think it's a very, very interesting point Peter makes about the loyalty, I suppose, of players to Kieran McGeaney, because even if you go back to his 5 years with Kildare, actually 6 years, 8 to 13, 6 years with Kildare, I don't recall in that period any player. Now, it may have happened, but I don't recall any player at that stage in Kildare leaving the Kildare panel. And in the 10 years with Armagh, I'm sure it has happened, but there has been no abrupt departure or anything like that by a player. Jarlath O'Byrne's obviously left at the end of last year, but he was back. So there is that ability within the Kieran McGeaney managed squad to retain players that is almost unique. I'm pretty sure Jim McGuinness might have something similar in his 4 years, and this year obviously it's far too early, everybody's on board here, but you will always get players leaving a squad, even the most successful. Even earlier this year in Kerry, Micheál Burns left, you'll always get that. In Galway it's happening, even in Dublin, even in Jim Gow, not so much, but he holds those players. So that has allowed Armagh to develop a really, really strong squad. And if you look, they're missing Kieran Macken, Conor O'Neill, players like that. Ethan Rafferty is back now. So even with long-term injuries, they've still been able to build up a very, very significant squad. I think Peter is probably right They may not have the best team, but in terms of a squad from 1 to 24, actually, I remember, I think it was last year, looking at the programme for the Ulster final, they had 49 listed on the squad. It was the biggest I've seen. So they carry a huge squad. There's a real sense of development within there. And to my mind, they are ahead, well ahead of where they should be. In terms of, if you take, and this is not a straight line by any means, but look at Armagh's record at underage level by comparison to Derry or Tyrone in Ulster. And even Cross Madeleine are not the force that they once were. So on that basis, you would think, well, maybe Armagh should not be competing at All-Ireland quarterfinals. So there is that ability within that squad to get the most out of themselves, despite all the near misses and despite all the heartbreak, everything like else like that. But you look at 16 to 24 to 26, and they have a very equal level of strength throughout that.
I think all of that is fair, Rory, but they're coming up against Kerry, who are the eternal champions. They always have been. Like, Jack O'Connor is potentially looking at taking this Kerry team to an eighth All-Ireland final with him. You know, so whatever about Armagh's depth of squad, it's still, they're coming up against a different beast this weekend, I think.
Exactly. And a different beast that, I suppose, so far haven't really played. You know, they haven't really pulled any stops out. Their Munster campaign, the closest they've been taken to the wire by any team was a 3-point win by Cork in the very first championship match of the year. I don't necessarily think they've been put to the pin of their collar since then. They have, by and large, you know, navigated their way through Munster, followed by a round robin. Even the last day against Derry, largely unimpressive. But we do know they have an ability to turn it on when it matters most. I think there's a couple of things from a Kerry perspective for me when it comes to this time of the year. I think the first thing is, and this might sound slightly trite and maybe totally inconsequential and quite tenuous actually, is last weekend. They're very conscious of their own identity. And they will have seen the big Munster counties up in Croke Park last weekend. I guarantee you, actually, that they'll have watched those games collectively. Would I go so far as to say that it'll inspire them to come up and put on a performance? That might be pushing the boat out. But they will say, well, we're Kerry and we're coming up now to put on a show in Croke Park. Because you have to bear in mind, there's like they've with Clare to the north, Limerick to the west and Cork further afield, you know, they're kind of surrounded. And I think that's one aspect which I do think will fire them up, as small and all as that might sound and maybe inconsequential. The second aspect, which I think is much more crucial, which I haven't heard mentioned anywhere, they lost last year's All-Ireland final. And I don't think you should ever underestimate a Kerry team that's coming into a championship on the back of being beaten in an All-Ireland final the year before. If you look at Jack O'Connor's record going all the ways back to when he first took over, I think nearly every year they were beaten in a final. They came back the following year and won it. Peter obviously knows, and I'm like, none of us would know what it feels like to lose an All-Ireland final. By all accounts, and Peter will probably be able to tell us, it's a harrowing experience. And the only way, I suppose, sometimes that you can put that right is by going out and winning it the following year. So, look, I think that combined with we haven't seen the best of them yet. I know Clifford, maybe some people are saying, you know, stop-start-ish in form as well. I think that will conspire all, in my view, for us to see the best of what Kerry bring to the table come Saturday. I would agree with Peter. I think panel-wise, Kerry aren't as strong as Armagh, believe it or not. 1 to 15, they would be. But it would probably break down then in terms of what kind of game we're likely to see. Are you going to go in and, you know, all guns blazing, both teams? Are they basically going to, you know, just go at it from the start? That probably suits Kerry to a degree. Is it the kind of game we all want to see? Absolutely. Is it the kind of game that Armagh can potentially win? Well, I think the chances of that are less so. So as a result, while we all hope for a good game of football, I'm not so sure we'll get one.
The only thing is, though, Peter, Armagh, yes, they might play more defensively, but it'll be different to Derry. It's not that same defensive setup. They are more attacking. They've got more, better outlets up the front, albeit Shane McGuigan is an absolute superstar. But like, look at what Armagh have at their disposal. I think it's different than what Derry did.
That they have different personnel and they've a different style of forward play whenever they do attack.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's been games where, big games where we've seen Armagh go into their defensive shell and, yeah, and haven't come out on the...
Even
on
against the, Roscommon the last day, Peter.
Times again, Roscommon, Monaghan last year. There's different games and they can play that. They're well accustomed to, say if it does turn out to be a Derry-Kerry game similar to 2 weeks ago, Armagh have probably more experience of playing that type of football than Kerry. Down in this year's Ulster Championship, probably one of the worst games, if not the worst game in the Ulster Championship this year. But Down very near, Down played a game that kept them in it. And Armagh, very similar to Kerry last week, remained really patient and their style of football that they play it. So they can play it that way. But I do believe that it has to be a much better spectacle than the Kerry Derry game. And that point you made, Rory, absolutely, that will not be lost on Kerry. Anybody that was watching that last week, what do you want to do? You want to go and play in Croke Park and you want to play in that sort of atmosphere and to see the crowd jumping and standing on their feet with every passage of play. That's bound to inspire you. So, despite the fact Kerry won against Derry, they were somewhat downbeat leaving the pitch, knowing, so many of those players knowing that they didn't play well, they didn't play near, they didn't show what they can do. So, look, at fingers crossed, we'll get a semi-final that we can remember, because we have really good players on both sides here who are capable of performing and going toe-to-toe. Let's hope we get that.
Yeah, let's hope so. Would Kerry's form concern you, Colm?
Not really. I think it's they've done everything that they've had to do. They've risen to the standards that they've met each way, even against Derry for three quarters of that game. Obviously, that was in the balance, but they always looked, apart from a brief spell maybe, they always looked like they had the firepower. So I wouldn't be so worried. They've made a few changes. Breno Beglig is going very, very well for them this year in an attacking sense. He's one of their top scorers, as it turns out. And he's around 10 years, but it's only really this year that we're seeing the best of him. So he's a big addition to them in that sense, coming off his wing and attacking. And Tony Brosnan looks to have improved for the type of game that they had to play against Derry, a very patient, conservative game. Tony Brosnan at half forward was ideal for that, because his ball skills and his ball retention and his ability just to move it around between himself and Paddy Clifford, they had the patience and they had the ball skills to be on it most of the time to direct the play. And I think he's worked out pretty well too. I think we'll see Killian Burke perhaps starting. He made a big impact the last day. He might just push out Darragh Moynihan this time too. Obviously, the two inside players, David Clifford and Sean O'Shea, have not been going as well. But I think as much as anything, that's down to opposition. I think everybody is planning with these two guys in mind. They have been for years, but it just seems to have intensified now more. Even the easiest game Kerry had against Meath this year, Meath picked a team that was full of defenders. Last time out against Derry, it was clear. Well, once the first couple of balls came into Clifford, it was clear. Prevent him, close down his space. He had to operate at centre forward most of the time.
Very true.
Even in the second half. And even then, he couldn't get shots away. He just could not, even to take a pot shot from 45 metres, wasn't able to get them away off left or right. And he can be very good in that situation too.
And you probably feel, Colm, like a lot of people maybe, and Peter, Clifford will probably have to drift further out the field in this game again.
Yeah, I think he will, because Armagh, and I know we're hoping for a better spectacle and all the rest, but if you give Armagh the same, put them in the same position that they were in halfway through the second half, you can guarantee Kieran McGeaney that Sean O'Shea, David Clifford and Paddy will be held fairly quiet, and it'll come down to battle of the bench in the last 10 minutes.
He would take the hand, he'd
be in that position. He will believe that for different reasons, there didn't appear to be the same self-belief in the Derry camp, as there was in previous years. That'll not be the case in Armagh, and don't tell me that there'll not be the hunger there to try and get back to an All-Ireland final. So if they can keep it tight and all, he'll be more than happy. But I still feel that David Clifford can influence the game more, can demand the ball more and force himself into the game, even if he's playing out around the 40. I thought he allowed himself to be taken out of the game at times against Derry. Likewise with Potty, likewise with Sean O'Shea. And I said immediately after the game, I just can't see that happening the game. You can stifle one or two players in that system, but still, if you want it bad enough, and if the team and Kerry have been very good in previous games throughout the league, do you not think teams have been trying to stifle, Clifford in that way? So Kerry's used to playing that style of football, but they have to do more to try and create those one-on-one situations where Clifford can either get the shot away or win a free.
Can I ask a specific question about him, though, Peter? Sorry, Colin. Can I ask you a specific question about David Clifford, though, Peter? Because you've been that guy. You've been God, where you're in the game, everybody's trying to stifle you, it's working. Is there something that you internally can do to relieve some of that pressure, to maybe go and get an easy ball, do something that's different? Because none of us have been in David Clifford's shoes. I have no idea what it's like to be him, but you do. So give us a sense of what is it like for him this weekend?
Well, I played in a different era to begin with, Jackie, whereby it wasn't 15 men behind the ball and that you were faced with two or three defenders directly in front of you. So it is a different situation, the type of game we played in. It's team structures and tactics, that's where it comes into play, because Derry have been very good at that, pressing players forward, pressing their own 14 or 15 players forward, and at some stage in the passage of play, shifting three or four players, shifting a lot of players over to one wing in order to create space on the other for a player, the player that you want to get the shot away, that you want to create a one-on-one situation. That's what teams have been doing in training all summer. So I've no doubt that Kerry are planning for that, are planning for those blanket defences, and within that, trying to create the pocket of spaces. It takes a lot of selfless running from your teammates in order to create space. A lot of the time, there's players making runs across just to create space for others. Look at the way the Donegal setup, completely different to every other team that's attacking at the minute, whereby every team bar Donegal are lining up on the end line and lining up on the sidelines when they're attacking and leaving the D free, and players are making the runs. Donegal is the opposite. When they're attacking, they're filling the D right away, so that when defenders are coming back, all the space is on the wing, and whenever they attack, they're attacking at numbers in the D, creating confusion and trying to create a pocket of space for Oisin Gallen and so on. So that's the dilemma facing the modern coaches at the minute, is what's the best way to attack, to try and get your best players on the ball, to try and get scores. So some people find that boring, some people find it fascinating, but that's the world we're living in at the minute.
That's modern football. Go on, Colm, sorry, you were going to say something there.
Just saying, I think all round there'll be a greater urgency to Kerry. I think, I won't say there was a little fear factor in the last game, but I do think they played, they cut their claw to measure it. They tried to size up Derry for a long time before they realised, we can see this out. They always probably knew they had that in the last quarter anyway. But Jack O'Connor, he's one of the great pragmatists. If you remember when he came in 2004, the changes he made the year after Peter's Tyrone had beaten Kerry in an All-Ireland semi-final. He's a great pragmatist. He won't listen to the noise in Kerry so much as others may be about style of football and all of that.
Kerry only play one type of football, Colm, and that's winning football.
It is. Over all the years, and this idea that Kerry must go out and that they're guardians of the game, they've long since dispensed with that, and I'm not even sure if it was ever a thing, is it a myth out there? I think any Kerry team down the years will do absolutely what they have to do to get over that. They've won some really bad All-Ireland finals historically, and I don't think style will matter as much as we think it is. I think it's more an issue for the rest of us through the country. Look at them with a little bit more reverence than everybody else because of the tradition and history. But Jack's pragmatism, every year he has come back, and you look at his comments after the game and you look at his comments in the press briefing earlier this week, he's clear. Yes, we'd like to play in a different way, but this is what's facing us. And this is what will probably face them on Saturday evening too.
Yeah.
The two core people just loved that sentiment you made on Kerry there, Colin.
We've watched them win handy All-Ireland. Talk to us about 2009.
But Jackie, I can't agree more with Colin from the point of view that I agree wholeheartedly. I think, you talk about being pragmatic, but did Kerry show Derry too much respect last week and that they didn't commit hard to their counter-attacks to trying to break down this Derry defence because they knew Derry wanted to turn them over. There was various examples last week of Kerry going forward. I recall Paul Geaney having a shot and only two, it fell short. There's only two Kerry players up front, David Clifford and himself. And when you look back further down the field, there was about eight Kerry defenders in their own half of the pitch on their own. So they were so wary of the Derry counter-attack and playing into their hands, but possibly showing them too much respect, and that didn't help the Cliffords up front.
One small point, Jackie, that I think is, I don't know if it's important, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I thought it was never more apparent how important it was again last weekend, is support. I think if Kerry people are circumspect or slightly, let's save ourselves for the final, that would be a foolish position to adopt. I think whatever Kerry people are around Dublin, and however many of them can afford to come up to Dublin this weekend or make the journey or stay overnight or whatever they need, because Armagh will bring a big support, and support does matter. It absolutely does matter, particularly in these big games. And I think it would be important for them to try and get in there and get behind the team because, as I said, I think Armagh will bring 20, 25, maybe even 30,000 down the road come Saturday afternoon.
I tell you, being brutally honest, any Kerry people that I'm talking to are coming to this semi-final because they're worried that there might not be a final. I think there's genuine a fear among Kerry people that they could be caught this weekend. And that's what makes it all the better. And if that one, Colm, is a tricky one to call, I think the other one between Galway and Donegal is even more 50-50 because of the way both of these teams play, because of what they've brought, maybe the novelty factor that they haven't played each other since 2017. We don't really know how those styles are going to contrast, but I think this game is completely impossible to call.
Yeah, and I think it'll probably be a lot more open than we would sense that the Kerry Armagh game is too. If you look at Donegal's style this year, they've been very, very... They brought so much athletic power to the game, and Galway have a certain amount of craft as well. Galway defensively, both teams for a start, very, very defensively solid, have conceded. Donegal obviously were hit for 3 goals by Cork, but in every other game, they've clean sheets. Galway have clean sheets in every game bar one, the Armagh goal that topped them. So from that point of view, they're not conceding goals and not too many goal chances either. But Donegal have that capacity to break very hard and very fast at times too. And that was evident against Louth. Obviously, this is a big step up from where they go. But there is a lot of running power in this Donegal team. And that should probably concern Galway more than most, because while Galway are very structured and ordered and a lot of really, really strong forwards on their day, and Shane Walsh is among them, and his 3 scores against from play against Dublin the last day were just magnificent. But that running power that Donegal are able to bring, that I feel should really concern Galway in this game, because you look at Pádraig Mógán's form this year, you look at Ryan McHugh, even Kieran Moore, a player that Jim McGuinness has brought through. No history really with Donegal teams previous, and he's come in, he's made such an impact. Even Owen Ban Gallagher looks back to his form. So when you've got these guys, and it was noticeable watching the Louth game in the quarterfinal, how fast they broke and the numbers that they broke with, very significant. They really poured forward. And Peter mentioned in his last just a minute ago there about the chaos that they created. Well, there's chaos in those numbers running so hard and so fast forward each time. Not each time they get a counterattack, but a lot of the time, and they are creating so many options when they do break. So it's a dangerous game for Galway.
Mm. It's a different profile of this Donegal team than the one that won the 2012 All-Ireland, Peter. Are they a better team or are they a different team? Like, what are you seeing with McGuinness in the way that he's, I suppose, created an evolution within Donegal?
They'll only be a better team if they win it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. They are a different team in that I don't think there's the same real strong characters in this current team than there was in the previous one, but I think they're a better balanced team. They're possibly a better footballing team in that there's a lot of natural footballers playing all over the pitch, and these players that can come off the bench to do it as well. So, and there's a big contrast in the teams, probably in terms of physicality. I would see Galway having the edge in terms of bigger, more physical players. And they can play a very defensive style of football as well. Whereas Donegal it's about the running game. It's about moving the ball really fast and attacking the D at serious pace. And there's leaders beginning to emerge in this Donegal team that a lot of people maybe weren't expecting or didn't think it was going to happen. Colm talked about Kieran Moore. He's literally come out of nowhere and it's been really impressive for them. Oisín Gallen is emerging as a real leader, no more so in the Ulster final this year when he put on a masterclass. So, and Ryan McHugh's playing the football of his life. So they have a lot of players pushing hard. I think that the two goalkeepers are going to have a massive, no more so than Saturday's game. Gleeson, the few goals chances that Galway have given away has come from their own kick out. I think that'll not have gone unnoticed by Jim McGuinness. I would expect a pretty aggressive press by Donegal on the Galway kick out in an effort to try and hurt them. Likewise, surprisingly, for a lot of his long kick outs against Louth, Donegal struggled. And when Galway have so many of their bigger players around that middle sector, they will believe that if it comes to the Battle of the Skies, that they are in a much better position. So likewise, and it'll lead to a much better spectacle if both teams really push up and attack the opposition's kickouts. But the danger we know from Donegal is Patton has got such length on his as well as accuracy that one ball over the top and Galway can be in trouble. But it will lead to a far better spectacle if both teams attack each other's kickout.
This whole game is going to be a spectacle, Rory, isn't it? There's so many of those fascinating battles. Two of the best footballing teams, as Peter said, left in the competition. I think they've proved that all year round, haven't they?
Yeah, both provincial champions, both very impressive in some ways in winning their provincial titles. Obviously, Galway got off to a kind of a shaky enough start. They'd actually beat London in the first round, I think. But I think Peter mentioned earlier about Armagh having the best panel. For me, I think on 1 to 15, in terms of the most skillful footballers that are left, I think Galway probably have the best 15 players, if they're all fit. And I know we don't want to keep going on. And I think people are probably fed up of talking about Galway and injuries, and it's probably more the media, to be fair, than the management or the players themselves. But like, if they can put everybody on the field on Sunday, that's a lot of quality. That's a lot of fires for Donegal to have to put out. I think like when you go into a game on the back of having beaten Dublin in the championship and knocking the All-Ireland champions out, I mean, I don't think anybody should underestimate the task that's involved in pulling that type of a feat off. So I think you would assume give them incredible confidence. But at the same time, I think as the two fixtures go, I think this is, for me, is a much more difficult one to call. I think this is the one that is more fraught in terms of could flip either way. We've seen in the past where a team has taken out, we'll say, the big gun and then obviously maybe fallen at the next hurdle themselves. I think Donegal will come into this with plenty of confidence in their own right. And I think to a large extent are potentially in a little bit of bonus territory, I suppose. If you were to have said to Jim McGuinness and the Donegal players at the start of the year, we'll offer you an All-Ireland semi-final, Ulster champions, and win Division 2, I think they would have said, happy days, we'll have that.
It's easy to say that now, but now that it's in front of them, you know what Jim wants.
So it's an incredible opportunity, but it's a great opportunity for both teams. This is an unbelievable opportunity for Galway for me. I think if Galway really, you know, if Galway really go after this, I think this All-Ireland is there for them. But they're going to have a big challenge on Sunday though.
I think the difficulty is, Colin, we've been saying that about this Galway team for a couple of years. 22, we thought, oh yeah, this is a huge opportunity for them. They've had a great team. Last year, they just didn't fire at all. And I think everybody has a sense that this Galway team are good enough to win an All-Ireland. The big question is if they can get everybody fit and if they can actually do it. And they're two very different things.
Yeah, of course they can do it. There is no doubt about that. They have, and even some of what we might call their more peripheral players, peripheral to maybe 2022, maybe their best player this year is Dylan McHugh, halfback. He's been really, really good. And they've brought John Maher into midfield. John Maher did the tagging of Brian Fenton last time out, and he was very good in the second half of the Connacht final too. He actually won one of the frees that helped to close the game. But all round his work rate. And Paul Conroy, while he was not maybe at it as much the last day, he was very, very good through the group phase against Armagh, but particularly against Derry too. So the players there beyond Comer and Walsh, who we would always identify with, but Shane Walsh showed a lot of good form. He may not have the legs of 2 years ago, but he showed a lot of good form. The big factor for me, Jackie, is Damien Comer's form. Galway are always a different team when Damien Comer is really on it. And we saw that. We saw that in the Connacht final. Most of all, when, you know, it takes so much for a defence to handle him when he's really on it. And obviously the last day, not so much so. But I think there's a high ceiling in Galway. We don't know where it stops them. I always look at Matthew Tierney. I think he's capable of a lot. He's a big player. He's left and right. He's a lot of skills. And someone like him can come really strong when maybe we least expect it. And maybe that's this weekend too. So they have a lot of players that can go to, I suspect, that can go to another level, whether they do or not. But the biggest factor of all for me is Damien Comer.
Yeah, it's impossible really to see, Peter, if you can just turn that on. Because if he can light up this whole championship.
Yeah, well, in fairness to Damien Comer, he's been hampered by injury throughout the championship. And immediately after the quarterfinals, my viewpoint was that this was advantage Donegal, but just because of the injuries, and it appeared that Shane Walsh had hurt his hamstring, and that's going to take a bit of time to recover from a pulled hamstring. So Comer and Walsh not at themselves, and I agree. Some of the lads already said that on paper, this fully fit Galway team is a match for anybody with star quality throughout. Tough man markers at the back, natural wing halfbacks,
good midfield.
Big midfielders who can play ball. Maher went toe-to-toe with Fenton, and he's the more unheralded of the two. Paul Conroy, a natural footballer that can
Gillian set McDade up. McDade is starting to find a bit of form again.
McDade in the second half against Dublin when the chips were down, he was the man that stood up. So they tick so many boxes at all levels, but are they fully fit? They're coming in on a high after beating Dublin. There's a lot of euphoria now, and they will not lack confidence, and Galway supporters are expecting them to go the whole way this year. But it's Donegal, and it's Jimmy's winning matches, and he will have a plan, and you just feel that if they can click, they have the players that, and they'll relish the prospect of taking on this Galway team in Croke Park. So look, very well set up, and if there's a game that's going to go to extra time this week, I wouldn't be surprised if it's this one.
Don't say that. We'll be racing back, trying to get back for the Sunday game. Gee, man.
They had a slightly more, I would say, a more challenging group stages to the All-Ireland as well, given the fact they were in the same
Galway
group as Galway did in comparison to Donegal. They've played one match more for a more mature team and a sets of legs that are slightly older. So I think the freshness and the energy and the infectiousness that McGuinness infuses into nearly every team will be a big leveler here. This will be tight for me.
Yeah, I think everybody feels that way. I'm looking forward to it, though. Look, I think they're going to be two cracking semi-finals. And we've got a great Tailteann Cup final to look ahead to as well. So let's just get a brief word on that, too, because I do think, Colm, for Down in particular, just I think everybody thought last year they were good enough to win a competition. I think you've seen the football, the calibre they've played again this year. And I think they'll feel there's a massive opportunity there. Maybe Laois are the ones who've surprised more people in the form that they've shown this year and how brilliant they've been. I think you've got two really good teams who are going to go toe-to-toe in hopefully a really good final on Saturday in this as well, which has been a brilliant competition this year.
Well, I was at the semi-finals and I have to say, I thought the Down-Sligo game
was a great game.
Nearly the best game.
Yeah, it was the best game of that weekend. Yeah.
Well, I'd say it was one of the best games of the year. It was a really, really brilliant game. And Down, you know, Down had to dig really, really deep to shake off a very athletic Sligo team. So, if you recall last year's semi-final, Tailteann Cup semi-final, Down scored 8 goals on Laois. Yeah. Here they are back now, thinking, you know, obviously feel they have a chance. But I think Down will feel that they are in the right place now to make that step up. And there's a lot, you know, there has, after they lost to Westmeath in the Division 3 league final, talk about their finals record and, you know, all of that comes into the mix. I think there's a lot of skill, there's a lot of pace in that Down team. And I think it comes to the fore in Croke Park. And Oran Murdoch, who when he really needed to, caught a couple of balls in midfield, just showed real leadership. And he's a young enough man. He's young, he's early 20s, but he showed a lot of leadership that day. So all around, I think Down's edging pace over Laois will really count here. And I think that drive to atone for last year and to get back up, they'll feel their rightful places in Division 2 and in the Sam Maguire Cup. And I feel that will drive them on.
And that's the opportunity that's there, Peter. You know, for the winner of this to be back in the Sam Maguire next year is massive for either county.
It's a brilliant prize. And I agree with Colm, it's the lessons learned from last year will prevent Down from getting too carried away with themselves here. And especially after hitting Laois for 8-16 last year. And it's very similar in many regards to last year's final, where prior coming up to that final, you felt Down's pace and purpose up front and their mobility would cause Meath all sorts of problems. But Meath got a stranglehold around the middle of the field and were very dominant in that sector. And I think if Laois are going to get in and out of Sunday's or Saturday's game, it has to be the same. Prevent Down from securing first phase possession. But on top of last year, I think Down also have a much better bench now as well. Liam Kerr came off at the great effect against Sligo, and Caelan Mooney's back playing for the first time in a while. What an asset. He has a fully fit Caelan Mooney to this Down setup. So Croke Park, bigger pitch, I just can't see anything. Laois have done remarkable just to get to this stage, because bear in mind where they were last year.
Yeah.
And I think Evan O'Carroll was quoted there recently saying he never had a winter like it, because he just didn't know whether he was going to, you know, face it again, National League and all the rest. He did. He's made the right decision, and he has shown great leadership with his Laois team. But for them to get to this stage in itself, I think they've done remarkably well.
Yeah. Well, look, Rory, it's going to be a festival of football, isn't it? I don't know what the expectation levels are in terms of crowds and whatever, given what we had at the Hurling last weekend. But I think Saturday will be bigger than what Clare Kilkenny brought last weekend anyway, that's for sure. And it's going to be brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a 3 o'clock throw-in on a Saturday. I think there will be a good crowd from both counties. I think Down really just need to win. They need to win this. I think they probably went into last year's Tailteann final against Meath favourites, and, you know, in fairness, they didn't look, and they're back in Division 2, so they obviously have another opportunity to, you know, cement their Sam Maguire status. But this would be a real statement to say, look, we're back at the top table, we're well able to compete. As we mentioned earlier, they took Armagh right to the wire, only lost by a point. So they, and like in the likes of Oran Murdoch, as Colm mentioned, and Havern up front, they've got really, really good quality players. But I would give Leash a shout here. I do. I mean, like the year before, everyone assumed that Cavan would roll Westmeath over. Didn't happen. Last year, something similar. I think Leash will come into this. No expectation. They've been in Division 4. They will probably be largely unheralded. I think Peter mentioned about some of their players being undecided about futures, etc. And Justin is after getting such a bounce out of them. I think we mentioned about bonus territory again. I'd expect this to be a fantastic game, actually, and I'm really looking forward to it.
I hope you're right, and I hope we get three fantastic games. Lads, we'll leave it there. Colm, Peter, thanks a million for being with us. And myself and Rory will be back on Monday. We'll have our All-Ireland football pairings, and we'll chat to you then. Don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you next week.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road. And that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. It's over the bar.